So, Mary Jo, come on up. Would you lift your hands towards our sister? Say, Father, bless Mary tonight. Give her the grace she needs for the work at hand. Amen. And amen.
Well, before I say anything, I have been moved through worship tonight that I need to give a testimony. Kim said a few things to me that when I went back and sat down, the Lord just brought this to me, so I'm going to share it. I have an older granddaughter who's going to soon be 20, and I can't believe that she's going to be 20. And I used to bring her to Grace Church as a baby in her carrier, and Kim dedicated her at Grace Church. And she's really very smart. She takes after her Mimi. And she's doing very well in school and all those things. But I don't particularly care for her lifestyle right now. And every time I think about it, I see Kim with his hands on his belly, like Pastor Gino told him that the sin, his sin was his belly. So it's not that I'm accepting the way she's choosing to live right now, but I surely don't want to lose our relationship, and I don't want to judge her or any of that stuff. So I've tried very hard to, I guess the word is bend, for lack of another word. And her friend was in a very serious automobile accident about 3 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. She had to be removed from her car by the jaws of life. She was on the road to, she was on the highway going to Rhode Island. And I was at work. And the first text that Jenica, that's my granddaughter, sent was to me, I found out afterwards. And she said, this is what the text said. Mimi, 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 you have to pray, 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 pray. Angelie has been hurt. So I didn't really ask for a lot of questions. She said she'd been in an accident. So I just started to pray. And one of the women that I work with, I used to be very close with at my other church, and when I asked her to pray, she said to me, that is such a compliment, Mary Jo, that the first one she would turn to would be you. And I didn't think of it that way, but when I thought about it, So they removed her by the jaws of life. She has 4 broken ribs. Her neck bone, or clavicle, is that what it is? Your neck bone? Separated. And a punctured lung. And so she was in the hospital overnight. And so I texted Angelia a couple times to see how she was doing and told her that I was praying for her. And then I had some other people praying. To make a long story short, if that's even possible for me. When she got out and she was back home, she texted me one day, this is Angelia now, and said how much she appreciated my prayers, that her own mother wasn't praying, and blah, blah, blah. And I was touched by that also. So I said all that to say that some of you know the situation that I have at my house right now, which is not very pleasant with the girl that's living upstairs. And another chapter happened today, and I really was very uneasy about leaving my house, to be very honest with you, but I knew that I had told Kim that I would do this, and so I didn't want to back out of that. And so my daughter Beth had come upstairs, and we were talking, and I said to Beth, you know, I really got to go, blah, 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 blah. She went downstairs. Right after that, Angelia texted me and said, would you like Jenica and I to come upstairs and sit in your home while you're at church? And I thought, wow. So I thought that they had plans. And I said, you know, I don't want to mess up your plans. Beth told me that you and Jenica were going out. And I said, I probably won't be home till close to 10. And she texted me back. She said, anything. I will do anything to help you. She said, if you need us to sit upstairs, we will sit upstairs. And we will postpone our plans till 10:30. And I just thought that that was just so awesome. And not only because of the way it transpired, but because she was very sincere and she was able to put herself and her plans behind and think of me and for me to be able to be at peace here and not thinking that something was going to happen at my house. So I just felt led to give that little testimony. And so what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is being totally financially prosperous. That's what God wants for all of us. In Proverbs 10:22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." The word rich there means having more than enough to do God's will for your life. Now, that amount could vary for all of us. It could be $5,000 for somebody. It could be $500,000 for somebody else. But that's God's will for us, so that we can do what he wants us to do. He wants us to be prosperous, and he wants us to do it in excellence, and he wants us to do it with no lack. And that doesn't mean just have enough, and it doesn't mean not to have enough. It means far beyond enough. God is a God of much more than just enough. And he is grieved when he hears us talking about lack, living in lack, talking about poor, saying we can't afford this, we can't afford that, because that's not God's will for us. We have to use wisdom with our finances, and we can't go overboard at times, but to be constantly saying, I can't do this, or this is too much, or I don't know that this is necessarily God all the way, or if it's God and some of me, but I think this is my experience, so I guess I better just put it in for me. My God is a progressive God, and my God is always going to the next level. If you're at the same level today, and I'm saying this for myself too, as you were a month ago, then you're not growing. You're kind of sliding back, because God is always going forward. So sometimes for me, when if there's something that I want to give money to, and I say, okay, God, tell me what it is you want me to give. I believe that if you hear $10, and then if you hear $50, I believe that $10 is my flesh, and I believe the $50 is God. Because God always wants to stretch us. God always wants us to go higher. And for me, I just think it's easier sometimes to say, oh, he told me $10. I think he told you the $50. I think the $10 is us. But again, that's, I don't know that I could back that up with scripture. Maybe I could. Maybe I could. For years, I heard in the church how God always punishes. He's angry at us. I used to think all the time that if I did something wrong, God was going to get me. I can remember thinking that God's going to get me for this. God's going to punish me because I did this. And it took me years of being saved before I really realized that the God that I serve took all that anger out on Jesus.
Amen.
2,000 years ago when he was on the cross. That's all over with. Now, do I remember that every day? I absolutely do not. I have not been a good person for the last couple of days. My thoughts, I should say. And I've had to do a lot of repenting. So I don't do it all the time. But I know that the blessings that God gives us or gives me is through the blood of Jesus. And that all those blessings are to prosper me, to bring me to the next level, not to keep me where I am, not to keep me in life, which is why I think that I'm being attacked the way I'm being attacked with my finances right now, because I'm talking about tithing and giving and being in peace and all that stuff, to see if I would still talk about it, even though I'm really being hit with finances right now. So I have to constantly keep remembering that that's all over with. It's all on the cross. It's all over with. God's not going to punish me. If he was going to punish me, he would have punished me a long time ago. It's all over with. And I have to go on from there. Now, I'd like to read to you, oh, that's not me. I'd like to read to you Psalm 35:27. because that will help. I have it written right here. Psalm 35:27 says, and this is from the New International Version, "May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, 'The Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant.'" That's what God wants for us all the time. I think we're the ones that do this to ourselves, because in doing this, besides me knowing that God wanted me to do this, I honestly have come to the fact that really God is very simple. We're the ones that make it so difficult. If we put him first with everything that we do, our thought, our decision making, all of that, if we put him first, it goes so much easier. And every day I fail in that area because I think, I got this, Lord. You can take a break now. I got this one. You don't have to do anything. And I think what we think sometimes is it maybe took us 30 years to get into debt because we did something wrong for 30 years because we never went to him first. And now we're accepting the Lord and we're saved and we're new creatures and all that stuff. So in 2 weeks now, God's got to straighten this all out. And when he doesn't, then we slip back into the old. And so I don't think we give God the chance that we need to give him, but his way really is very simple. Tonight, Kim said a few things to me. I mean, I was so uptight when I came to church inside, like I was in knots because of what's going on in my house. And instead of saying to myself, "Stop it, Mary Jo, you know God's got this. How many times has he pulled you through? Blah, 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 blah." I come and I'm still uptight. And it took Kim to say a couple things to me before I realized, "Stop it, Mary Jo." And so now I feel very much better. But so I'm not trying to point any fingers at anybody, because we all do it. But the other scripture that I wanted to read before I go on, because there's two main keys that I believe the Lord has told me about being financially prosperous that I will share with you. But the other scripture that I wanted to read is Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure we all know, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that basically is what he wants. And the two reasons, or the two keys, I guess, not reasons, the two keys that we should know that God wants us prosperous, the number one is because he's a good father. And we who are on this earth, who have children, of course want only the best things for our kids. We want our kids to succeed. We want them to do better than what we've done. We want them to do better in jobs and all that stuff, not make the same mistakes we made. So if we're like that, just think how much more God wants all of those things for us, and not for us to be thinking, he's going to get me if I do this, and he's, because that's not the way it is. And the other reason is, I've got to get my glasses now, is because he wants us to help hurting people in the world. That's basically why we are here. People who are hurting, who need compassion, who need anything, should not be going to the government, should not be going to programs, should not be standing in line for all kinds of help. They should be able to come to the church door, and the church should do it, because we're the ones that have the truth. We're the ones that have the Word of God. We're the ones that have the gospel. We should be helping the government, helping all these people. There shouldn't be all these lines and lines and lines of people in programs, asking for aid, getting help, over and over. It shouldn't be a way of life for believers. That's not what God has us on this earth for. If God needs a building built to spread the gospel, we should be able to say, "We got this. We'll do that for you." If God needs a missionary to go and do something for him, to preach the word, we should be doing that. Not the government doing it. The government is as insecure as the people of the world are. And we should be able to give a word to these people who need this help to not only financially help them, but we should be able to encourage them. We're the Christ that they're going to see. We're the Jesus in our workplace, in school, on the bus, in the store, all of that. God wants them to see what they have, what he has done for us. Not to turn and say, oh, you know something? Maybe if you join that line, you can get aid and you can get help. And you, that's not what God wants for us. And for as long as we stay in that mindset of needing help and getting aid and getting all this, believers shouldn't be claiming bankruptcy. Believers shouldn't be not paying bills. Yes? Oh, yes?
I want to bring up a point. Mm-hmm. I heard a gentleman speaking on Sunday. He plants and helps churches in China. Right now, China is one of the fastest growing areas in the world for Christianity. There's an area that he's in. The gentleman that he has to coordinate with to get permission from the communist government to plant churches told this gentleman, you no longer have to come and get permission. Every place you have put a church, crime has gone down, poverty has ceased, no more dependency on the government, nothing but prosperity has come in these areas. Mm-hmm. You no longer have to file paperwork, plant as many of them as you want.
Mm-hmm. And I just believe that. Are we doing it? Nope. Are we anywhere near doing it? Nope. But I believe with everything that's in me that that's what God wants. And the devil's job is to keep us continually thinking lack, poor, underprivileged, poverty, starvation, food stamps, all that.
Impossible.
That's not at all what God wants us to do. So, I think, I do have this one other thing. I just want us to think about this for a minute. Sit back and just think about this a minute. Who are we to enjoy blessings that God has so graciously given us and not spread those on? By mouth, by action, by money, all of that stuff. Not just talking the talk. We should be walking the walk. And I'm as guilty as the next one, but that's what I think God wants for us.